As a business owner, you know that access to capital is one of the most important things in your business. In fact, access to cash is often the constraint that prevents owners from growing their product line, expanding payroll, or increasing ad spend. Well, today's guest, Jerry Detweiler, is the world's leading expert about business credit. And she's going to explain what business credit is, how to establish business credit, and strategies and timelines that you can follow for getting access to this capital. Let's jump into the interview. I want to welcome you to an episode of the Business Growth Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking with Jerry Detweiler about business credit. And Jerry's been a guest on the podcast before. And by popular demand, we're going to come back and we're going to talk even more about business credit. We're going to talk of the foundations of it and then how you can apply this information to your business. Are you there with me, Jerry?
I am.
Well, it's great to reconnect here on the show. If you wouldn't mind bringing our listeners up to speed since our last episode, maybe you can tell us what it is that you're focused on, what your specialty is, and then we can jump into some of the content.
Sure. So my specialty for the past 25 years has been credit. So I've been answering credit questions and helping individuals since when they didn't know what a FICO score was. So yeah, I've been in this a while. And lately, the past couple of years, I focused on business credit. I wrote a book called Finance Your Own Business with small business attorney Garrett Sutton, and that brought me really focused into the business credit world. And in the course of that book, writing that book, I interviewed the CEO of a new company called Creditera. Now it's named NAV, and that's where I work now full time. So it's really fun helping small business owners navigate both business and personal credit, and really with the ultimate goal of helping them get away from risky personal guarantees and leveraging business credit to grow their business. But what I've really found recently in talking to business owners is that one of the huge, huge challenges many small business owners face is cash flow. So they may be a freelancer, they may be a service business provider, they may create a product, and a lot of times they don't get paid for that all up front. So they're trying to pay for payroll, for staff, for supplies, for inventory, whatever it may be. And then 30, 60, 90 days, they can sell the product and pay for it. So I'm really trying to help them understand their options to improve that cash flow affordably so that they can continue to grow their business. And business credit can be a key component of that.
Okay. Now, as far as cash flow goes, we're going to get into the details of different types of business credit. We'll get into details of the different businesses and what they should expect for business credit and timelines and all of that. But let's go back and talk about just the foundation of business credit, how it's different than personal credit.
Sure. So there are commercial credit agencies. The oldest credit bureau in the United States is actually Dun & Bradstreet. They are commercial, not an individual credit agency. They collect information about businesses. And they've had four U.S. presidents work for them, including Abraham Lincoln back in the day as a reporter. So these commercial credit agencies collect information about how businesses handle their bills and their finances. And then they package that information for other companies. The business credit report is quite different than personal credit reports. I think it's almost startling for many small business owners the first time they see it. And we can certainly talk about some of those differences. But one big thing to emphasize is there are no federal laws that apply to business credit reports. Anyone can check your business credit. There are no laws surrounding disputes or notification or free reports or anything like that. So it's even more imperative that the small business owner be aware of this and understand it and leverage it than the individual, where they have many more rights under federal law.
Okay. So that is actually quite a bit different because, you know, anyone can check that. So that means that anyone should check that, the businesses. Now let's talk about foundation. Like, why should a business, besides cash flow, are there other reasons why a business owner should check their business credit or establish business credit?
Sure. So checking your business credit is important for several reasons. One is that, as I just mentioned, anyone can check it. So there will be lenders who might be checking it, prospective business partners. If you want to get a government contract, you have to have a DUNS number, and your Paydex score may be reviewed. That's a Dun & Bradstreet credit score. If you want to get an app in the Apple Store, that you need a DUNS number. There's some ways that it may impact you if you're going to get bonding for your business, insurance for your business. If you want an SBA loan, an SBA guaranteed loan, which are some of the best terms available to small business owners, those are all going to involve some type of a business credit check. So understanding your business credit is important for that reason. But there's another reason that's even more perhaps imperative, and I think this really came up after you and I talked on the podcast last, Spencer. After that interview, we had the big Equifax data breach. Mm-hmm. And everyone's worried about their personal information, their personal credit, they're placing credit freezes. You cannot freeze your business credit report. There is no such thing as a business credit report freeze. And remember, I just said anyone can check your business credit. So business identity theft is also a problem. And you as the business owner want to check and make sure that you are monitoring that. So if there is unusual activity, you can act quickly and hopefully stem any great repercussions from someone stealing your business credit information.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's pretty shocking, actually.
I read a story recently of an attorney who had both his business and personal credit stolen, and he basically shut down his firm to try to deal with it. But the crooks impersonated his business. I've heard a number of variations on this story, but typically what they'll do is they'll pretend to be the business, and then they'll get credit in the name of the business. They'll purchase whatever it is, just like you would if you stole a credit card, right? If you were a crook who stole a credit card, and then it doesn't get paid for, and eventually the business owner finds out. But in the case of business credit, they usually find out later because there just isn't any monitoring going on.
Up next, Jerry's going to share with us the game plan that we can follow so that we don't have to go through a crisis and we can really take advantage of the opportunities ahead.
Okay. I want to be clear, because I'm not sure if I was super clear in my last answer. I want to be clear that building business credit means you will have more opportunities and better opportunities when your business needs to borrow. So whether it's a crisis or opportunity that comes along, if you have solid personal and business credit, I think both are important, then you're going to have more options when it comes to borrowing, and you're going to get better terms. So that's one of the benefits. We did a survey at NAV nationwide of small business owners, and we found that business owners who understood their business credit were 41% more likely to be approved for a business loan. And we think that's a competitive advantage. So that's the goal here in this, you know, in this discussion, to give you that competitive advantage. So where do you start? Well, to have a credit report and a credit score, you have to have information about how you've handled your bills in the past. That's how credit scores are created, and that's why they're created. So back in Abraham Lincoln's day, when he was working for Dun & Bradstreet, you know, he'd go locally and collect this information. He was a reporter. He'd collect this information from local merchants and make it available to the database. So if a new merchant was trying to do business with someone, they could check. How did they handle their bills when they were in Topeka or in Chicago? Did they pay or did they skip out? Same thing is still true. It's just more automated now. But it's not as straightforward as it is with personal credit. So with personal credit, you know, if you get a credit card, an auto loan, or a mortgage, it's going to show up in Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. It's almost a given. Business credit, not so much. The company may report to one of the commercial credit agencies. They may report to multiple agencies. They may not report at all. So what you want to do is, after you've checked to see if you're in the system, so Dun & Bradstreet, that's a DUNS number is the identifier. Experian, you don't need any kind of identifier. They'll assign it. Equifax, you don't need an identifier. But you want to see if you're in their systems. And then you want to start establishing credit with companies that report. And I'm going to make it super, super easy. There are some companies that you can get credit in the name of your business without a personal credit check. It'll be small to start, so I'm not talking thousands and thousands of dollars, but you can buy things your business would buy anyway, shipping boxes or janitorial supplies or restaurant equipment, and you pay it on time or pay it early, ideally, and that builds a credit reference.
Coming up, Jerry tells you the exact places to use to establish business credit. And if you want to see the exact business cards to get and to get your free business credit report, go to nav.com. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is not a paid commercial. Nav is not paying me to do this episode. I simply believe that they're a great resource. You can also take a look at the show notes to see some of the resources that we mention, and you don't have to stop things and write stuff down. So again, go to nav.com or take a look at the show notes.
So a few examples of companies that do this: Quill, Ranger, Uline. Those are all very simple companies to get started with. And again, you're just buying things that you need, you're paying it on time or early, and you're building that credit reference. That's really the essential groundwork that you do to start building business credit.
Okay. Now, you mentioned one key thing that maybe people didn't catch, but that business credit is separate than your personal credit. So you're not putting your Social Security on there. Can you explain why that's so imperative?
Yeah, so they have separate databases. Even Experian and Equifax, which both also have consumer databases, have separate commercial databases. And the goal here is to try to eventually move away from having to use your Social Security number and your personal guarantee. With a personal guarantee, a debt may not show up on your credit report, but if you default or your business defaults, you are personally on the hook for that debt. Now, sometimes it's very hard to get away from that. SBA loans, for example, are they're pretty much going to try to take your home, you know, have your home equity as collateral and a lot of skin in the game. But as your business does grow, the stronger your business credit and the stronger your business financials, the more you can move away from those accounts that require personal guarantees or that directly impact your personal credit.
Okay, that totally makes sense. Now, in the business world, what we're trying to figure out is how to establish. You mentioned a couple different companies like Uline or Quill or whatever that may be. Is that the first place a person should go to start to establish?
That's a great place to start. Another great place to start is with a business credit card. So most of the business credit cards report to at least one of the major commercial credit agencies, if not all of them. And I do have an article that details each of the major issuers' policies, and I'll share the link, Spencer, so we can share that link and have updated information. The dual advantage of those business credit cards is that they bill business credit, but most of them do not report to personal. So you will have a personal credit check, you will have a personal guarantee, but the debt or the activity of that business can stay off your business credit report. So I want to give you a quick story, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So Dave Edmondson, he started a company called Salt and Savor out of his kitchen making sauerkraut, the old-fashioned way, the old-fashioned fermented sauerkraut. And people loved it, told him he should start selling it. So he went to a local farmer's market, sold out immediately. He started to get more demand. So then he went to a bigger farmer's market. Now he's in health food stores and he's expanding his business. But he told me when I interviewed him, he said, I made a mistake. And he said, I used my personal credit cards to fund this business. And as a result, his balances were high compared to his credit limits. That brought down his personal credit scores. So as he's trying to get more traditional types of business financing, they're looking at his personal credit and saying, you're maxed out, we aren't going to lend to you. So he's kind of in this catch-22 situation now where he's had trouble getting away from the personal credit. So by getting a business credit card that doesn't report to personal, you serve two purposes. One is you're building that business credit. Second is you're keeping that debt off your personal credit, keeping your credit scores hopefully higher, depending on where you're starting, but hopefully higher, so that if you do need to get an SBA loan or another type of loan where a personal credit check is involved, you have a much better shot at it than if you had maxed out those credit cards.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, when you're saying applying for that business credit and you having to put your social down, is that going to ding your credit score just like
Yes, your personal credit check will be checked. So an inquiry will be created on one of your credit reports, Equifax, Experian, or TransUnion on the personal side. And an inquiry usually drops about 2 to 7 points on personal credit. So it's not a huge drop, but it's something to be cognizant of, especially if you're looking for multiple credit cards because you're trying to get large credit lines. You do want to be aware that could be an impact, but it shouldn't be significant in most situations.
Okay. And if you already have some of those trade line credits established, do you still need to use your personal credit your personal, Social Security to get that business credit card?
Yes, you do. All the business credit cards check personal credit. One of them also checks business credit, but for the most part, they're really relying heavily on your personal credit score. So that's a pro and a con. So on the plus side, if your business is newer and you don't have a lot of credit established, then in the business, that doesn't preclude you from getting a business credit card. In other words, you could start your business today, and if your personal credit is strong enough and you have income from all sources, maybe it's even your spouse's income, as long as you qualify, you could get a business credit card tomorrow and start that process.
Okay. So maybe I'm going to be diving too deep into the weeds with this, but I got a couple questions. One is the follow-up. So if we're looking at our personal credit, are there certain tiers that you kind of put people into, saying, okay, if your credit score is between this range, you should expect to be able to get a credit card. If it's not at this range, then you probably need to wait a little bit longer. Are there things, guidelines that you suggest?
Yeah, absolutely. Credit card issuers all have minimum cutoff scores. They might have different cutoff scores for different programs that they offer. The trick is it's a little bit challenging because they all use different scoring models. So even FICO has over 40 different credit scoring models. I did write an article, 150 plus places you can check your credit score for free. And in that article, I listed which credit scoring model each of the major credit card issuers use, the ones that give you a free credit score, because they show you the one that they use. So if they're using a FICO 8 BankCard score, they're going to show you that particular score, right? So that can kind of get you in the ballpark, but you're not necessarily going to know from the credit score that you're seeing that that's what that issuer is going to look at. But you can generally see if you're strong or if there's some areas that need some work. And usually on most credit scoring models, if you're in the mid to high 700s to 800s, usually they go up to 850, you're fine. You can get anything you want. Once you dip in the lower 700s, very high 600s, then it starts, you might not get the top tier offer, but you should still be getting some pretty good offers. Once you get in the mid to low 600s, it gets more challenging. And typically, once you're below 650, you're starting to have some problems, getting unsecure credit cards. Not all of them, but it definitely gets more challenging at that level.
Okay. Now, does the same happen in the business world where there are credit score ranges for business credit and what a person should expect?
Yes. So the way we show a credit score to a small business owner, for example, at NAV, we break it down to ABC. We take the tiers and turn them into letter grades to give you an idea of where you fall. Most of the business credit scores that you're going to see are going to run from 0 to 100. The FICO SBSS score is going to go to 0 to 300. So a lot of times if you're in the 80 and above, you're doing pretty well. And once you 60 to 80 is sort of mid-tier, and then you go below the 60 and then you're having more trouble. So that's kind of a rough guideline for how that might work. But with business credit and with personal credits, anytime you're looking at a score, make sure you're looking at the range. Make sure you see what's the top score and what's the lowest, because there are a few scores that will go on different ranges. And then you could have, an 875 FICO score and say, well, what the heck? I thought FICO went to 850. Well, there's a version of FICO that goes above 900. So you have to look at what the range is.
Okay, that makes sense. And when a person, let's say they go through, they now have got a personal credit, they now have a business credit report, so they know where they are. Is there work that can be done to increase that score over time? And what timelines should people be expecting and looking at?
Sure. So one of the cool things about business credit, our experience at NAV has been that you can get a pretty good business credit score pretty quickly if you're starting from scratch. So with Dun & Bradstreet's Paydex score, so let me just give you a quick overview. You've got Paydex with Dun & Bradstreet score. Experian has a score called IntelliScore. Equifax has several different risk scores. And then you have a score called the FICO SBSS score, which we can talk a little about. It's a little bit different. You generally want to have at least, you need at least three accounts reporting some kind of activity to DNB to have a Paydex score. So you definitely want to make sure that there's at least three showing up on your DNB account. On your Experian, you can probably start establishing credit with as little as one business credit card, but it's a good idea, like with any type of credit score, to have at least a couple of references reporting on a regular basis. So you definitely want to make sure you have that, you know, those basic accounts reporting. The other thing that you want to watch for on business credit. Now, business credit tends to be very heavily weighted toward payment history.
Okay.
So your payment history is going to be the most important factor. In fact, with many of these scores, inquiries don't even matter. That's a factor in your personal credit, probably not a factor in your business credit in many cases. Some of the scores, like some of the Paydex score, debt, not a problem. They're really looking at your payment history there. So they can weigh much more differently. But one of the things that we do see with small business owners is something that pops up called a UCC filing. And I find that most business owners aren't aware of this. So let's say you go out tomorrow online and you get a cash flow loan. These are one of these loans where you can apply online. They look at the money coming into your business and they approve you in minutes. Very often that they will place what's called a UCC filing. It's basically a notice with the court saying, we have interest in this business's property. If they don't pay, we have dibs on their property. We're first in line. And UCC filings aren't necessarily bad, but they can have an impact if you get too many. So we have a number of lenders that we work with, and very often there's a cutoff of maybe one to two open active UCC filings. Beyond that, that'll just be an automatic rejection. But here's what happens. Lenders don't always file the notice with the court when the debt is satisfied. So they'll place the UCC filing, but they don't remove the UCC filing as they should be doing. And I've heard that some of them do that intentionally because they want you to keep coming back to them and not going to someone else for your next loan. I don't know if that's true or not. But regardless, if you get your business credit report from NAV or directly from one of the credit bureaus, look at that section that says UCC filings and see if it looks accurate. If it does not look accurate or you're not sure, you need to investigate a little further to make sure there isn't something there that you didn't know about. I was just literally at a conference last week talking to a small business owner. We pulled up her summary business credit report and there were UCC filings on there. And she said, I have no idea what this is. I don't know. She did not understand that when she was taking out some kind of financing that they were placing this information, you know, in the public record. Either that or it's a mistake and she's mixed up with someone else. So either way, it's something worth investigating.
Next, you'll hear why it's absolutely critical to pay your business loans and lines of credit early and why there's no grace period like we have in the personal credit world.
The business credit bureaus use something to report payment history. It's called DBT. DBT stands for Days Beyond Terms. You will see this on business credit reports all the time. So if you have a credit card payment, I don't know, have you ever done this, Spencer, where you've like forgotten to make a credit card payment, you made it a few days late, you got stuck with interest or a late fee?
Years and years and years ago I did.
Yeah, I did it. I did it on vacation. I thought I hit the you know, you have to hit so many buttons. You say, I want to make the payment. Then you say, here's how much I want to pay. And then they make you hit another button that says, you know, yes,
and
I really want to.
Yeah, exactly.
I did it, but I didn't do it. But fortunately, with personal credit, they don't report those until you're 30 days late. So until you're 30 days late, that late payment doesn't impact your personal credit. But business credit uses DBTs. So let's say your payment is due on January 1st and you make it on January 4th. You are 3 DBT and that goes on your business credit.
Okay.
So literally one or two days later, it will report it. Now, it's not the end of the world. Experian says that the average small business in America has average DBT of about 11. So it's not the end of the world if you I should have made that payment 2 days ago and I didn't do it. But it's a reminder to really set up systems to pay on time, especially when you're building business credit, because to get the highest Paydex score, for example, with DMV, you need to pay early. So you really want to make sure that you have that something built in so that those payments get paid on time and you don't stretch them out if at all possible, so that you can protect your payment history.
Okay. Regarding paying early, is there some kind of secret sauce that you've seen? Like, hey, pay a week early, 2 weeks early, a couple of days. What would you suggest?
Really just pay early if you can. I mean, as long as it gets there before the due date, then it can help you on your paydex score.
Okay.
Because on personal credit, you don't get any credit for paying early.
No, you don't. You just look at it and you're like, oh, great. Yeah. Thank you. You get the float. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there must be several different types of business credit. We've talked about those trade lines. We've talked about business credit cards with the, and I want to say the UCC, those are more like the cash flow type of mm-hmm. lines.
Yes.
What other types of business credit is out there?
So one thing you just asked me about that I evaded because I got off track was the FICO SBS S score. And that's affiliated with bank loans and SBA guaranteed loans. So the Small Business Administration does not make loans, but it guarantees loans. And so individual financial institutions will offer SBA loans. The most popular program is called the 7A loan, but there's a variety. They have microloans. They have a program that people will use for buying commercial space. They have a variety, and they have disaster loans, of course, but those are handled a little bit differently. There's a variety of programs available through SBA guaranteed loans, and they can be really good loans in terms of low interest rates, very predictable payment terms. They can be very, very attractive. But all of the loans in the 7A program, which is the most popular, it's just the name of the code. They tried to change it to a better name, and no one liked the change. So now they're still calling them 7A loans. But they're basically they're going to pre-screen the application using this score called the FICO SBSS. And so SBSS, Small Business Scoring Service, is a score that was developed by FICO specifically to evaluate small business loan applications and small business loan performance. So it's a score that ranges from 0 to 300. 300 is the very best score you can get. And if you're going for that SBA loan, they're looking for a minimum of 140. 140 is the cutoff set by the SBA. Our experience is that most lenders want to see a 160 or above. But here's the kicker with that score. It takes into account both your personal credit, you as the business owner, and the business credit of the business. And it uses both of that sets of data sets. And it can also pull in financial information if it's requested and available. So if they have information on your company's financials and they request it and they add that, it could be part of this scoring as well. But that information creates this credit score that you need to have a minimum. It's also used by, FICO says it's used by 7,000 banks and financial institutions around the country. So it's used for other traditional bank loans that are used in the commercial space as well. So it's a score that should be on your radar, especially if you're thinking about a bank loan or an SBA loan.
Okay. So if 160 is kind of that threshold, and we've had people that are, you know, engaging in this and they're saying, okay, I want to get some business credit. Let's talk timelines. And I know this is very hypothetical, but what are reasonable timelines a person should expect to be able to get to 160? And let's talk through some of that.
Well, it's interesting with that score because if you have a really stellar personal score and not much at all in the way of business credit, you might get a passing score. So okay. It's possible to get a passing score with just really, really strong personal credit. But again, you know, my experience has been we have customers at NAB who have started successfully establishing credit, you know, business credit in months. If you're very disciplined about it, you know, you should have a decent credit history in at least a year at the longest. But it doesn't take that long. If you're not starting with anything negative, it doesn't take that long to get something positive going. My theory, look, I don't develop these scores, so I don't know for certain that what I'm saying is correct, but the scores are developed to predict risk, right? So they take data, they look at who's paid their bills on time and who hasn't, and then they figure out what they have in common. My personal theory is that, you know, most small business owners are not proactive about building business credit. So there's just not much data for them to analyze. They can't make a prediction. It's like a high school baseball player who's a star after three games. Yeah, maybe he'll make it to the major leagues. Maybe he won't. We don't know. There's not enough information there, right? Same with credit. So with business owners, the large majority just are not cognizant of their personal credit or their business credit. They're not doing anything to build business credit. So if you get in there and you're proactive and you pay on time and you have these credit references, you're probably doing better than, you know, most of your competitors and most of the industry, because you're just doing the right things that you should be doing anyway. So it's not as onerous a process as it seems. I think the challenge is it does take some time. And when you're launching a business or growing a business, you have a million things on your plate. You get busy. You just don't take the time to do it. And then later you realize, oh, if I had, I'd be in a better position.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, you mentioned different industries. And so that makes me think next, okay, is business credit, you know, more prone to be better for certain types of industries or certain types of businesses?
Yeah, so let me talk about that generally. First of all, within the credit bureau ecosystem, the commercial credit bureau ecosystem, very often these scores can judge or evaluate a business compared to its peers. So it could, the score, for example, could look at all restaurants in the Bay, San Francisco Bay Area, and compare one's business credit habits to other that ecosystem. So you are judged in some sense by the company you keep. If you were in real estate in 2008, your credit took a hit, even if you were paying everything on time, just because that whole industry was having so many financial problems. It was a high-risk industry, and that carried over to the business credit scores. But when you talk about using business credit, it can be used by a variety of industries. We see a lot of use of it in construction and real estate-related businesses. And the reason we see that is because traditional lenders often preclude those businesses, or it's hands off for those businesses. A lot of them see it as too risky, so they stay out of it. So business credit is often used by those industries to help with their cash flow. We see it a lot in areas like trucking and service businesses, restaurants. So a restaurant owner, for example, if you have a restaurant, you want to get the things you put into your food, your restaurant. You get it on net 30 terms, net 15 terms, net 10 terms. That means you can make that meal, sell that meal, get paid for that meal, and then pay for the seafood or the, you know, wine or whatever it was that you served at your table. So there's a lot of industries where it can provide that cash flow that we talked about earlier and make it easier to keep your business going without having to front all of your business expenses.
Okay. So I think a lot of people that are taking part in this conversation, maybe freelancers, maybe they have software companies, or some of them also have, you know, physical locations. So if a person has a software company versus someone that has a restaurant, should they expect something different between those two?
Yes. I mean, first of all, with your business credit, you have a code called the NAICS code or the SIC code, Standard Industrial Classification. North American Industrial Classification System, I think is NAICS, but it's a code that basically says this is the industry you're in, and that goes on your credit report. And it also can be used by lenders or financing companies who want to choose which types of business they lend into. So when you get your business credit report for the first time, make sure that code is accurate. Make sure, I had an inaccurate code on my consulting business when I had it. And it's not uncommon, because if you aren't proactive about it, you may get assigned that code through the credit bureau. It may just be a guess based on the type of business, your name, your business, or something else. So make sure that's accurate, because that could definitely have an impact on what you can borrow. And now I lost track of what I was saying on the question. What you said in the question, tell me again. Remind me.
I guess for me is deciding, okay, if someone's got a software company or a consulting versus a restaurant, I'm trying to understand those, you know, expectations.
Yes. Yes. So if any type of business where you are not collecting payment up front, or any type of business where you are paying a lot of expenses up front, can benefit from business credits. So let me give you two examples real quick. I know a blogger who started investing in Facebook advertising, and he discovered that he could buy Facebook ads, drive traffic to his website, make money through affiliate programs, and he basically was, you know, printing money. I mean, it may not always work, the ads that he's running right now, but right now it's working for, I don't remember how much it was, but like, let's say he invests $1 in a Facebook ad and he makes $1.50. Okay, so he's making a profit. But those affiliate programs do not pay right away, right? They pay you in a month or sometimes 2 months, sometimes quarterly. So he has to front that money. So he's using a credit card. Now, imagine he uses a personal credit card and he's putting out $10,000 in ad spend a month, which is about what he's putting out. That's a big chunk that could go on his credit card and could affect his personal credit score. If he puts it on a business credit card, then he's building business credit and keeping off his business credit. So he's using business credit not necessarily to get terms with vendors, but to protect his personal credit and to build his business credit at the same time. So it's an advantage to him there. Now, second example is a real estate investor. So the real estate investor is going to rehab a property. They can't get a loan. You know, they're considered too risky, whatever. They can't get a loan. They could get hard money, but that's going to be expensive. So instead, they get multiple credit cards. They choose the credit cards. They give them the best rewards and the lowest interest rates. They rehab the property, and then they pay off that credit card debt from the sale of that property in, you know, 30, 60, 90 days. So there is another example of using the business credit. Now, they could also potentially go to their vendors and suppliers and get terms. So our founder at NAV, Levi King, he had a sign manufacturing business, and he had to get plastic and steel to make the signs that he would install and sell. And he said literally that when he learned about how to negotiate terms with his vendors so he could pay for that steel and plastic in 30, 60, or 90 days, he said it really was life or death for his business because it improved his cash flow. He could make the sign, install the sign, and get paid for it. So using business credit, which in his case was getting net terms with his vendors, was critically important to his business. So there's a lot of different ways, you know, there's a lot of different ways this impacts his businesses, and I don't always think people getting into business realize it. I don't think most freelancers know that about over 70% of all freelancers are owed money by their clients. I mean, you know, you've done the work, you put in the time, maybe you even have staff that you have to pay or contractors that you have to pay to help you deliver that work, whether it's writing or public relations or IT consulting or whatever it is you do. So you're going to have some way to cash flow that, and if you're not careful, it's going to be very expensive, cut down your margins, and you won't have a sustainable business.
Up next, Jerry shares the roadmap to follow if you're looking to grow your business and get involved with corporate accounts like Walmart or other entities that happen to be somewhere in your game plan, and you absolutely will need business credit to do that.
So improving cash flow, but also growing your business, that's the ultimate goal. So the ultimate big picture path on this, right, is that you start small, you protect your personal credit, you try to start moving away from personal guarantees, you build your business credit. But then ultimately, you continue doing that, your business becomes more successful, you're able to take on larger opportunities, and then eventually you're not having to make a personal guarantee or use your social security number because it's all going under the EIN of your business. And great example is if you have a product that you want to sell in like Walmart or Target, they absolutely are going to want to see your company's financially successful, and they will require a DUNS number, and they will check a Paydex score. So I was in a workshop recently with a woman who is a CPA, and she said, yeah, I used to run that supplier division at Walmart. And yeah, we would check the DUNS number, and a lot of people who wanted to be in Walmart with their product didn't realize that there was that credit check, and it tripped them up. So it comes into play a lot of ways. Government contracts, as I mentioned earlier, and getting bonded. If you're in a business that will require a surety bond, you will need to have business credit as well.
Yeah. So I think for our listeners, if I could put an exclamation on it, it is start now. I'm using this from a personal example. One of the e-commerce companies that I own, we're currently sold in like the Ritz-Carlton, and we're in health food stores and on Amazon. But in order for us to be on Amazon, DMB, just like you mentioned, and unless you prepare months previously, have fun waiting. And if you miss the cutoff for the holidays, then you could seriously be out of business and additional revenue for a year. So now, that's my echo right now.
I agree. Getting started now, and it's pretty easy to get started. So don't feel intimidated by this process. It's you can at least start the process right now by, you know, getting that business credit card or getting one of those vendor accounts.
So what are some of the things that people should avoid? You know, you're lucky. You get to play Oz in a way that you're behind the scene and you see all of this and you are the business credit expert of the world. And so you've been around this for a number of years. What are some of those mistakes that people should avoid and maybe some of the things that most people wouldn't realize that are mistakes they should avoid?
Yeah, I think the biggest mistake that I see typically with small business owners is they don't really figure out that cash flow puzzle till it becomes a problem. And so a good example, I was talking to a business owner recently who is doing, his business is booming and he's doing a lot of government contracts, but those don't pay him till for 90 days. And he hasn't really invested the time in figuring out the whole business credit thing. And he did have some personal credit challenges in the past, so his personal credit isn't so hot. And so now he's really kind of struggling to figure out an affordable solution for cash flows. He said, I have to pay my employees. He said, when payroll comes, I cannot be late. I have to pay my employees. I said, but I'm not going to get paid for that for 90 days. Now, there are solutions. It might be a line of credit. It might be invoice factoring. But some are more expensive than others. Factoring is going to be much more expensive usually than a bank line of credit, for example. But the bank line of credit requires decent personal credit, at least if you aren't a well-established business. So there's trade-offs there. So you want to start laying, the groundwork early, like you just mentioned. And one thing to consider, Spencer, I don't know how many of those watching us right now are side hustlers. But I think when you have a side hustle and you're still working your day job, that's a great time to start building business credit because you can get that 2 years of business credit under your belt while you're not worried about it. And then once you've got 2 years under your belt, that goes a long way. A lot of businesses don't make it to that 2 year mark and a lot don't make it to the 5 year mark. So if you do that while you're side hustling, it's easy to get and you build that credit, you're going to be eons ahead of, someone who has just been forced, to start a business because they lost their job and they're scrambling.
It made me think about when you're talking, cash flow being the biggest problem. The reason why people go on that hit TV show Shark Tank, I think it's for one of three reasons. One, either they're trying to get some type of new relationship. Two, they're trying to get more brand recognition. Or three, cash flow. Now, what our listeners, if you don't realize right now, is if you're trying to have that relationship for cash flow reasons, be prepared to give up a huge portion of your business. So it's much cheaper to get credit from a bank or credit card or whatever that is, business credit, than it is to give up 20, 30, 40, 50% equity of your business.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, most small business owners don't end up getting equity financing, right? They don't end up with an angel investor or a venture capitalist. They usually end up scrambling. And if they get someone to invest, it's, family and friends, not one of those options. We are seeing more options with crowdfunding campaigns, which is great. And I know you have information on crowdfunding, which is terrific, but it's still compared to debt-based financing, it's much, much, much smaller piece of the pie. So if you can get your credit in shape and be prepared for the debt financing, you just have a lot more.
Now, a moment ago, you said if a person is doing a side hustle, they should just keep at it. And if they had about 2 years history, then they'd be in great shape. Is there certain age cutoffs that you would put people in different tiers? So saying less than a year, old business, you should expect this versus, a 5-year-old business.
Yeah, definitely 2-year mark is great. I mean, we will see financing lenders and other financing sources that will want to see 2 years in business. And that cutoff is really valuable. 5 years is definitely a less risky proposition for a lender because again, a lot of businesses don't make it to the 5-year mark. But the other thing to keep in mind is in the Experian credit file, the commercial credit file, you're going to see two dates. One is going to be the date the business was started. And so you always want to be consistent about that. And I know it sounds like, oh, yeah, that's obvious, but it's not always obvious when someone starts as a sole prop, right? they just start their business and they think, well, when did I start that business? I can't really, I can't really remember. So, it, you know, write a date down, open up a doc, a Google doc or something. And, you know, this is the date I started my business, and use that date consistently. Even if you later incorporate and you start, you could still say, this is when I started my business. And then they have something called time and file. So time and file is the date that the first credit reference was reported. So the first account that you get that shows up at the credit bureau, it starts with time and file. So there's those two dates are very important. So that's why, again, you could have a business, and I've run into this countless times where someone's having a business for 10, 15 years, but they never did a thing with business credit. And so they don't have any kind of business credit history. They have the business history, but they don't have the business credit history.
And does that mean that a person should... when you talked about sole prop, does a person need to be a sole proprietor or LLC or S corp? Does any of that matter?
It definitely is a lot easier to establish business credit when you have a separate business entity, because when you think about it legally, if you're a sole proprietor, you and your business are the same. There is no legal separation whatsoever. So to truly get business credit, it would be advantageous to start a formal entity, whether it's an LLC, S corp, C corp, whatever, you know, you and your accountant or you and your attorney decide is right for you. In terms of starting the business credit file, a lot of times the way that gets started with someone like Experian is they pick up information from court filings. So if you do start as a sole proprietorship and you file, say, a DBA, doing business as, with your state, that could be enough to get you into the Experian commercial database. Even if there's no credit references yet, it gets you on their radar, because you don't really proactively start a credit file with them. So any kind of state filing, or if you apply for a business credit card and name your business, that could get the ball rolling as well. But I think that generally these days, especially now with the new tax advantages of pass-through entities, I would encourage small business owners to have that conversation with their attorney or their accountant to see what business structure might be right.
So I think our listeners now have a pretty solid understanding of what they should expect with business credit, the different types of credit, how long it should take, and then some of the platforms that they can jump onto. So the next logical question that people should be saying is, okay, how do I check my business credit? A, do I already have it? Or B, what's my foundation? Where can I start? So if you can take a moment and talk about NAV and what it is that you guys do that is unique to the marketplace.
Sure. So NAV is the only place where small business owners can come to get free business and personal credit scores in one place and then monitor them through their NAV account. So when you start a NAV account, we're going to ask you some questions to make sure that it's you asking for this information, because you will get a personal credit score. And that is highly regulated under federal law. And once you set up your NAV account, you'll see your personal credit score, and then you can also add your business. So you add your business name, and once you've added your business name and added your business, then you can monitor your business credit. And then we'll give you tools to help you understand if you need to build business credit, how to do that. We'll give you tools if you need to dispute business credit information, because business credit reports do have a higher error rate than personal credit reports. You want to make sure it's accurate. And then we'll have a financing marketplace with over 100 different lenders of all different types, including all the major business credit card issuers. And we'll help you figure out which ones you are more likely to qualify for, giving you a match factor score that helps you understand which ones are a better fit based on your credit.
And that helps our listeners understand. Now, can a business owner have more than one entity inside of their platform?
Yes. So that is entirely possible. However, I will say that business credit agencies are pretty good about linking business credit. So it can get a little murky. I did a story around election time about our president's Trump Organization's credit reports, and I think he has over 100 different entities that have his name on it. And so the list is very long, and each of those entities can have its own business credit, and it does, but there's also notations often within the file that says, you know, this company is also associated with this other company. The reason I bring that is sometimes people say, well, I had a business failure. How about I just start a new business and I can just start fresh? And you might get away with that, but if you're listed as an officer or principal of the business, there's a good chance they're going to at least link that information to show that you were involved in that other business and that that has some impact on the risk factor of that new business.
And when you're talking about that, if a person had a sketchy history, is it like personal credit where after 7 years, 10 years, or whatever that is, it falls off, or does that stay around forever?
That's a really good question. I'm laughing because I tried to research all this, and the information was a little harder to come by than with personal credit, because personal credit, we have the federal law, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, and that says this is how long negative information can stay. Again, there's no federal law for business credit. So each bureau basically has its own policies on how long it can report information. There's really no limit, and they're not always super clear about their reporting periods for negative information. Generally, you're going to see probably 5 to 7 year range, but some negative information could stay on the credit report indefinitely. Depends on
so
the
it's still the Wild West.
It's definitely not the same as consumer credit, okay. I would say.
I think that'll help people understand. Now, you know, we talked about NAV, and I don't know NAV's business model. So what I'm stating right now is from my experience of people that I know at NAV. My friend Joel is the affiliate manager or relationship manager. I don't know what title you call it. But I will say this, just like certain companies, you know, Credit Karma gives a free credit score for your personal credit. NAV is providing this. You can sign up. It's free. I imagine that you guys are probably making money off of the relationships that you have. So in a situation like that, so our listeners and viewers understand, it's their best interest to find the best relationships, because the more frequent you use them, the more frequently that you're going to come back because it's favorable to you. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, it is. It is safe to say. And we are a for-profit company. So we're definitely, you know, in a business, like many of you are a business. But we're also very mission-driven. Our founder, you know, went through the agonies of as a serial entrepreneur of dealing with credit and not having credit and losing opportunities due to his credit. And so we're really here to try to help, you know, educate and help the small business owner. But in our marketplace, if we help you find a business credit card and you find one that you like and you get that credit card, then we will get a commission for that. We try to be very lender agnostic and not show you the loan that's going to earn us a, you know, well, we don't get trips to Hawaii for return, but, you know, that kind of thing, which can happen with some kinds of brokerage relationships, but really try to show you, you know, your best options, because we know that if your business is successful and we've helped you be successful, then you're going to continue. You're going to tell other business owners about us. You're going to continue to, you know, work with us. And next time you need something, you're going to come back to NAV because you feel like you could trust us. So we really,
yeah, it's really the next evolution of business. You know, a lot of people understand like Facebook advertising. It's Facebook's best interest to put the right people in front of your ads and for those people to click, because you'll want to spend more money, just like the relationship with you guys. So I love how business has evolved to that level. Now, as I wrap up, what should I have asked you that I didn't?
Well, I just want to point out a couple of quick things when you get your business credit report, whether you get it from NAV or you go directly to one of the credit bureaus and purchase it, however you get it, there's a couple things that are probably going to make you really frustrated or make your jaw drop. And I want to warn you up front, because this is the way it works. Business credit reports do not show the name of the lender.
Yeah.
Which seems really weird if you've ever seen your personal credit report, right? They're going to tell you if you have a credit card with Bank of America or with Chase, it will just say bank card, or it will just say packaging. Or so you kind of want to keep track of it when you start out. Like, you get an account from Quill and you see a new account show up on your credit report, you can mentally say, oh, that's my Quill account. They say it's because the competitors are worried that they're going to somehow get that information and market to them. Anyone can get the credit report. They might use it to mine that information to go after someone else's business. I don't know what the reason is, but they don't show the name of the creditor. They also don't show the credit limit. So if you do get a credit card, it's going to show the highest amount ever purchased, but it will not show the credit limit. Generally, that's not a huge problem. Most of the scores are not heavily weighted toward debt usage or how much debt you compared to your credit limit or the amount, you know, your highest credit. But it can be a factor in some scores, especially an SBA, SBSS score. So you just want to be careful there that if you're going to apply for something important, pay down your balance, make sure it shows that it's very low on your credit report, so that you don't end up with any kind of penalty for that information. And then, of course, the one I mentioned, which is that they're very granular on payments. So you're a few days late, that will show up as a few days late on your credit report. So you want to be just meticulous and organized about making sure those
bills that's actually really strange that they don't show up specifically who the person is, and it's just the maximum amount. So if a person's starting and they wanted to go to Uline, as an example, and get packaging supplies, is it advantageous for them to try and get as spend as much as they can? Will that help their score, or does that not really matter?
It could be advantageous to make a very large purchase initially and then pay it off so you don't have a lot of debt. And that sort of sets the bar for that top amount. So that could be a benefit, but I also don't want to encourage a business owner to spend more than they can afford, especially in a young business where every penny counts. So it's okay, too, to just make a purchase and then pay it off. Just use it from time to time so that the account is active and it's showing activity. If you have inactive accounts, they aren't going to be very beneficial for your credit scores. Because remember, we said they need data in order to predict how you're going to pay in the future.
Well, what an awesome conversation. I think that people that have participated in this can now see, and we've demystified some of the stuff that happens around business credit. It's pretty overwhelming, just because there's not a lot of information about it. So if our listeners and viewers want to follow up with you, ask additional questions, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Well, I'd encourage them to get a NAV account. And Spencer, you can share a link to sign up for a NAV account. So I'd encourage you to use the link that Spencer provided you. And then get in our site and see what's out there. We have a great customer support team, great credit and lending team. And if you have educational questions about anything in terms of the education that I provided, you can always reach out to me. My email is Jerry, G-E-R-R-I, at nav.com.
Thanks for spending time with us today. And to all of our listeners and viewers, go out and get some business credit. Make it happen. You will look back on this day and you will be so glad that you did. So thanks for spending time with us today, Jerry.
Thank you, Spencer.
Thanks for spending the time with us in this episode today. Some of the takeaways that I really got is the importance of business credit and paying that credit off early. There's really no grace period at all. So make sure you're on top of that. Stay organized. The next thing is, right now is the best time to establish your business credit. So if you don't have it, just start. Go to nav.com, get your free report, check things out, and start going. And the other part is for you to, you know, just look at this and say, okay, hey, down the road, maybe here's how I want to go and grow my business. So take a look at the show notes. You can see all the different places where you can establish that credit and start going. And finally, you know, once you understand what your business credit is, begin to ratchet that up. Work towards growing that business credit, getting access to additional capital, and do the things that won't limit you for growing your business. All right, hopefully we'll be bringing you another episode that will help you grow your business. If you love what you're hearing, please leave a review in your favorite podcast player. Follow us on Spotify. Give us a shout out on Twitter. My name is Spencer Shaw on Twitter. And you can send me an email. I respond and read all of those emails. My email address is Spencer@businessgrowthpodcast.com. Thanks.